nā koutou, ko Stephen Day tēnei. This is Arahikoi Aotearoa, where we share the stories of people who care for the land. This week, I'm talking to Rick Balfour from Land Care Trust and Felicity Bro from the Walking Access Commission. Rick and Felicity have formed a partnership where they work with farmers and catchment groups to help them develop public access routes when they are doing riparian planting along waterways.
Yes, hi, my name is Rick Balfour. I'm the Waikato Catchments Coordinator with New Zealand Land Care Trust, and I'm based in Thames, and my role is working with farmers, landowners, catchment groups and iwi to move everyone further along the dial of more sustainable land use. And it could be anything from water quality testing programs that people want to start up, or just investigate what's happening in their stream because they're thinking about doing a riparian restoration project or a wetland project. So I help them get started with, you know, what have they got now? What do they want to do? Could be related to their farm environment plan. And how could they go about it? And how can Landcare Trust help?
And Rick's friend Felicity is a Waikato-based Walking Access Commission regional field advisor.
So we work with Landcare Trust when they're working with community groups to help the community groups understand the nature of the land or the ownership of the land that they're seeking to put riparian restoration work over. So one of the important things is that people understand who owns what land. It's easy for farmers, while they might have historically been farming an area, to assume that they own it or have the right to do work on that land. And sometimes that's not the case.
A great example of how this works is the Waipa Rerenoa Catchment Group.
And that's a catchment group that's done an incredible job working with farmers along the Waipa stream. And they've done already quite a lot of fencing and planting. And in the process of looking at more things that they could do along that corridor, they realised that public access or the potential for a community trail, even just for the pragmatic reasons of doing the work on the restoration, they hadn't factored in access, you know, walking or, you know, a clear area along inside the fenced area that they've planted up or want to plant that would provide a continuity of access that wouldn't involve going in and out of every single farm and getting permission or dealing with stock and gates and all that. So when Felicity and I heard about this in a forum of catchment groups, we realized that there was an information gap there, and that we could help them through navigating the legal side of it to understand it. And with my restoration background and my trail building background, there was a good match for Felicity and I to work together to help unpack the situation and help them through how to do a better job of planning ahead for access, even if it was just purely pragmatic getting the job done of restoration and maintenance of the project, let alone any potential future community access as a public right-of-way.
So our role there was really just to highlight that they might need to consider different aspects on the land ownership. Are there covenants on the route? Is a land that's owned public land? And the implications of putting a trail over that public land. So it was really about raising the awareness and understanding what the implications are where there is land that's outside the farmer's control or has other parties that have an interest in it.
Felicity and Rick's work is important because there is a strong link between good public access to land and healthy environmental outcomes.
Yeah, so that's the neat thing about some of these riparian projects that catchment groups and farmers are starting to get really cracking on. And one of the most important things is for us to be very practical and helpful in the way they think about their project before they put the fence in the ground and before they put the plants in the ground, and factoring in the need for maintaining a grass corridor between the fence and, say, the first plantings, because grass in itself is a really good filter. And yeah. So if you think you've got a slope above the stream and the cows or stock or whatever's going on that hillside, you've got nutrients or potentially silt coming down in rainfall events. And if it's got a nice sward of grass between the fence and the active part that the farmer's managing, and the first plantings and the stream, then that grass acts as a really good filter. And it doubles for all sorts of other cool things like your planting project to get access without having to go up and down and in and out of gates and different properties. And it maintains a place for your follow-up maintenance, whether it's weed spraying or replacing lost plants. of these catchment groups, they're trying to improve the habitat for the long term, so they're doing pest control. And if you've got a corridor of traps that you've got a pest control volunteer group managing, then and you've got this grass strip that's maintained as access, easy peasy, you know, they can get their job done. And there's other benefits, things like occasionally a stock breach will happen and the cows will be in the riparian zone and they'll hang out on that grass strip rather than being lost in the scrub of regen or down in the creek, which is worse. And even in that Waipārerenoa project, we heard about 15 head of cattle that had spent 3 weeks unbeknownst to people along the stream corridor because they couldn't see down into the creek. And those cows were in there for a while before they were detected. And so we try to reach out to the farmers and give them really good practical reasons why leaving that access corridor along their riparian corridor was a good idea from just the farming point of view, but also from the catchment group or the volunteers' point of view of keeping that corridor maintained and functioning and improving the biodiversity. Yeah, I would say between Walking Access Commission and Landcare Trust that we can both help catchment groups or landowners individually figure out what their options are, what their legal obligations are, and keep making sure that they're planning ahead and keeping their own options open.
It's also helping them to avoid frustration. There's nothing worse than doing work and then finding that you or planning to do work that you actually have to unpick it. So we want to make sure that the basic research is done before they actually start committing resources. No one wants to have to move a fence. They're expensive. And if you find that you actually have to move it, it's very frustrating.
A lot of the times when I'm going onto a farm and helping a farmer deal with this question or with a catchment group that's visiting a farm that's either done some work or wants to do or extend it is, you know, electric fences. And when you've factored in an access corridor into your project or when you're thinking about it in terms of your fence placement before you even get started, putting in those gates, putting in the corridor where it's not going to be planted makes life so much easier for both the farmer, for any volunteers, for any tour groups, because other catchment groups want to come and have a look. And there's been quite a few times where I've had the gentle reminder that that's a live fence. And we've had to walk out of our way to get to a place we wanted because there's no gate or there's no easy way to turn off the heat on the fence. And so that's all part of the practicality of thinking ahead and planning so that life is a lot easier when you're doing the project or when you're doing your follow-up or just showing off your good work.
And a lot of these areas that people are planting are the beautiful areas and they want to be able to share them with be it school groups, people from town that are learning about farming. So by putting in a walking track, they're able to share it easily and their friends and their family are able to enjoy it more, get access to river easily for recreational use.
Mm. And so we say to the farmers, think about the placement of that fence. Often it's right in the middle of the track. And we say, you know, put it to one side, preferably uphill. And then you've got that platform that you can then create as your access track ongoing in the future. And then anytime a track goes in and it crosses a small tributary or a gully, we remind farmers to think about when there's that rainfall event, that could end up being a really clever silt trap. And so think about the culvert placement being perched enough to allow the silt to settle out before it goes straight into the stream. So there's lots of little practical ways that we can help in the broader topic of planning ahead for access along your riparian corridor.
It sounds like as well as the access and environmental benefits that we've discussed from these kind of projects, that there's a lot of connections happening between farmers and the communities that they live in and the groups that have an interest in that land.
There's been a lot of strengthening of social connections that, you know, within the farming communities. The other thing, Rick, is my observation is there's been a better understanding or a greater awareness and interest in biodiversity, and providing access to that is helping not just farmers but everybody understand about what actually lives in our waterways.
Yeah,
and true. Actually being able to see them, are there freshwater mussels, kura, and what exactly is the fish life there? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm really excited to see that positive shift towards, instead of maybe a NIMBY attitude that might have prevailed and still sometimes comes up, but people being willing to say, oh, yeah, I'm okay with that, you know, potentially being a public access corridor one day. And so we set that option up in the future in their thinking. It doesn't make them have to do anything right now, but if they're planning ahead in the placement of the fence and the planting boundary, then they're keeping that option in their back pocket. And often, as I said, you know, you've got tour groups or community groups, their own catchment group, neighbours, or just their own family getting down to the creek and enjoying to see the, you know, the progress of the work that they've undertaken. It's all those factors that are coming into it to make it worthwhile.
You've been listening to Arahikoi Aotearoa with Rick Balfour, Felicity Bro, and me, Stephen Day. If you want to know more about riparian planting or public access along waterways, check out the links in the show notes, or visit Landcare Trust and Walking Access Commission websites. Hei kona mai.